Amen. Thank you, Sharon.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'd like to start off this morning with a scripture reading. Out of Philippians chapter 2. It says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father." 1 Timothy, a verse says this, God's word says this, wonderful, wonderful praise. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." Let's all stand together and worship Him.
Before your throne, there is no one.
praise him this morning. And Heavenly Father, we come before you right now proclaiming, shouting, singing, and praising that you are our Lord, our God, our mighty King, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. We love you. We praise and honor you this day. Receive our praise. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do this day in our lives and through us. Bless us, Lord. Use us to bless others as well as we are in your presence. Thank you, Lord, most of all, for your unending love and the grace that you bestowed upon us on the rugged, rugged cross. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, church. This morning, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
So good to have everyone here at Faith Princeton. Thank you for coming to worship with us. If this is your first time with us, all of our guests, we want to say welcome. But if it's your first time with us, tear off that portion there in your bulletin and that connect card, fill it out and drop it in one of the boxes as you leave, or we have a special gift for you out there in the Welcome Center. One of our wonderful greeters will give you that gift. And we'd like to know a little bit more about you so we can share with you a little bit more about our church as well. It's hard going through life when you're by yourself. A little bit easier going through life when you're in a community of like-minded believers, amen, and having a church family to love on you and to care for you and to pray for you. It's wonderful, and we encourage you to come and come back again and worship with us again and just start getting plugged in. We have a wonderful weekend planned for the young people. That's happening this weekend at Lake Levan. There's information there in your bulletin. Read that. It's not too late to sign up if you have a 6th through 12th grader that's not signed up. Please see one of our wonderful youth workers. Pastor Stan as well can get you signed up. If you're working with our young people, please stand. All those volunteering and serving in our youth ministry, we have some over next door as well. Nikki and Glenn right here. And we also have the Wheelers next door, I believe. We also have a wonderful ladies activity coming up here in a couple Sundays. They need to know if you're able to come. There's a sign-up list there in the back. It's a luncheon right after church. So please sign up back there so they'll know how much food to prepare. Lunch is provided. And you know us Baptists, we like to eat. So ladies, come and enjoy a wonderful meal and a wonderful time of fellowship together as well. It's good to be back with you guys. We watched the service last week online. Jamie and I had the privilege of going down to Costa Rica and sharing in the lives of others that we've been able to meet through the years. Hanny, one of our church workers that we serve with, Pastor Stan, when you went to Costa Rica with us in 2017, your very first time down there with us, we partnered with the church, Pastor Hydro, and his church. His church was not a building. His church was where they met anyway, was a single car driveway, had a canopy over the driveway, wooden pews and a pulpit. Maybe 20, would seat 20 people. And we served in that area. Your team went evangelizing in that area. And Hanny was one of those church members that went out with the pastor's group, and she spoke zero English. And Hanny was one of those, through the years, she began to learn English. And she started translating with us and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with us. So Jamie and I had the privilege of going down there, and I married Hanny and Josue, number two, and a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Her daddy, Jairo, told me Friday night at the rehearsal dinner, and he said, "You told Hanny several years ago, when God brings the right man into your life, I will come down here and marry you." And this old man forgot about that. But I'm glad I followed through with the promise that I forgot about, because her and Josue, number two, asked me to come down there and marry them. What a privilege that is. We had, y'all met Pastor Juan Carlos. Several of y'all have in the past. He's our pastor coordinator. His grandson, Santiago, is 4 years old. And some of y'all have been praying for Santiago. He was born with a cleft lip. He's autistic. And he has a trach tube. I don't know the correct terminology. And he's had that for several years. He's 4 years old, and he ends up in the hospital with infection after infection. We had the privilege of meeting this. Go ahead, Kathy, if you will. Set up. It's not on the back. Can we put it on the back for me so I can see that as well? This little boy was so loving and so joyful. He wasn't trying to get away from Jamie. He was just looking over here at his parents. Just a sweet little boy. There's his mom and dad. That's Pastor Juan Carlos's son, Esteban. And Lord willing, Mama and Santiago will be going to Spain next month to have surgery. And they've been raising money. And we just praise the Lord. Someone outside of our church family gave some money. Some of our church members gave some money as well. And so we were able to bless them with some cash to put towards that trip. And y'all continue to pray for Santiago. Would you do that? They're going to be there for at least 3 months. Can you imagine going to a foreign country and being there away from family? So y'all pray for this family. And Santiago is his name. If you want to write that down, if you're like me, you'll probably forget. Isn't that precious? This is Hanny and Josue number two. this Josue Chacon, he does have a last name. We had a privilege of marrying them. Pastor Hydro, Stan, you get a kick out of this at the wedding reception. I'm sitting next to Pastor Hydro, and he looks at me in my short white sleeve shirt there. They told me they wanted me to wear that attire. He looks at me and he says, "You look like a Mormon." It's like, thank you, Pastor Hydro. I flew all the way down here to marry your daughter, and that's what you say to me. Oh, my goodness. It's good to laugh and have a good time. This is Hanny's brother in the green shirt and his wife, Keisha. His name is Sammy and his wife, Keisha, and I don't remember the little girl's name. Sammy is in full-time missions, he and his family. Hanny and Josue number two is full-time missions now as well. So going from translating with us, God's called them to full-time missions, and we praise the Lord for how he continues to bless and call people to full-time ministry. And through the wonderful gift that was given to our church, we're able to impart some of that to this lovely couple as well as they're serving the Lord. These three young men right here, to the right is Adrian, and to the far left is Gabriel. Wonderful translators through the years. You know, most of these younger ones were in their early 20s, maybe 20, 21, when they started serving with us. And now they're grown men, and they have full-time jobs and married and so forth. Y'all been praying for Adrian and his wife. They lost their baby at birth 5 months ago, and many of y'all have been praying for them. On the far left is Gabriel. Gabriel lost his wife 5 months ago as well. She was just turned 30 years old, and so when we send texts out through the prayer chain asking for prayer, y'all been praying. It's on the Wednesday night prayer sheet, so this will put a face to the names of those you've been praying for. The young man just to my left there is Josue number one. Why do we say Josue number one and two? We also have a Josue number three, so that's how we keep everyone apart. I would like to introduce to you Josue number one, Josue Centeno. Would you come up, Josue? Y'all welcome them. Welcome him to our church this morning. This is his first time in the States. Wow, we had one applaud. He was excited to come here to the States. So we drove down to the border and got him. I'm teasing. Pastor's gonna call me on the carpet tomorrow. Josue has a visa. He has a passport, and he came over. He flew back home with us, and was it Tuesday? And he's gonna stay to this Tuesday. And we just had a privilege of spending some wonderful time with him, and showing him a little bit of the area. And you know what? He said, I like the countryside. Taking him down to Dallas, yeah, I'll go down there if you want to take me down there. But I kind of like the countryside and seeing all the open area. But has our people been loving to you? You met some of them Wednesday at the senior adult luncheon. Everyone been welcoming? Do you have any complaints or anything? Well, there's a guy over there, right there with the guitar.
One of the three.
Josue, I believe it was either 2016 or 2017 when God brought our paths, our separate paths together to serve together. Mm-hmm. And Josue lives in San Jose, and most of the time we go to Liberia, Guanacaste area to serve. And San Jose is about 4 hours away, isn't it?
It's about 4 or 5 hours. Depends on traffic, but yeah, usually for 4 hours. Is that okay? Oh, is it on now?
There we go. All right.
Okay. So, yeah, it's San Jose. It's the capital of Costa Rica. That's about 4 hours from where we tend to have missions. So, yeah, I mean, have to get there.
So the young men and women that serve with us from San Jose, they would hop on the bus and ride 4 hours to come over there and serve with us. Yeah. And could you just share a little bit? I know y'all hear a lot from us and our team. Here's the rest of our team, part of our team that are translators. Could you just share your perspective, having a group from the States come down there and serving together?
Well, it's been wonderful. We started in 2017, and it was a great opportunity. Back then, I was in college. I majored in English, And so it was a great opportunity to maybe practice a little bit more and also get into missions. I've never done missions before this date in 2017. And having this fellowship with people from other countries that are looking the same that you're looking for, you know, that is reaching others, you know, getting people to know about Christ and to meet him personally as well. It was, I said, Charles, more than eye-opening, was heart-opening, because you would, you know, see these, you know, we are not, let's say, in Costa Rica, Charles and I wouldn't be the same denomination, let's say, when it comes about church. But at the end, that didn't matter at all, because we were reaching the same goal, and we're praising the same God, and, you know, we're trying just to share this love with others. So it has been about seven years of great experiences, and year after year, I always did Charles. It's this refreshness that you guys bring to us, because, I mean, even though I'm learning, you know, my own church, and I go to my own church and everything, I get to learn from you every time you come here. And he tells me, I get to learn from you. And I'm like, what, right? I mean, you're the ones being here, sharing with us. And it's just amazing, you know, having these people. And also we go to Liberia with people from other churches that would be considered also from different denominations. And we're working together. We're doing this whole serving for the Lord, right? I mean, serving for the kingdom. And it's been just an amazing experience that every year it's great to just to be there and be able to serve.
Man. Would you just take a moment just to share with our faith family what the Lord means to you and the relationship that you have with him as a 28-year-old? What is your relationship with Jesus and what he means to you right now?
Well, just if I can sum it up in a word, he's everything, right? I started, let's say, well, being in a Christian family almost all of my life. My when I was 3 years old, my family started going to this evangelical church, and since then I've been there. But well, Charles, one day we were talking, and he asked me, "When's the date that you became a Christian? I mean, that you accepted Christ?" And I told him, "I really don't have a specific date for that, because since I've always known about Christ, I feel like my process to accept Christ was exactly that, a process, because I knew about him, but when I was around 14 years old, I started like getting more involved into church, and beyond just hearing about Christ, it was a process of getting to know him personally, you know, getting to know him as my savior. So to me, he's been everything. Literally everything. I feel, and I have the conviction to this moment, that everything that I've reached in my life, you know, my career, let's say success, if I've been promoted or anything in my studies in college, everything that I've done, it's been because of him. If I've been successful in anything, it's because of him. If I've had a calling to missions with you guys on Liberia, it's been because of him. So he is literally my everything. Whenever I stumble on something, whenever I have issues, he's the first one I go to ask for advice. He's the first one I go to if I'm in having, you know, sad times, if I'm in sorrow, if I'm in, you know, duel or something. It's, I mean, if I can sum it up like that, it's just everything. So yeah, it's just a short.
Amen. Thank you. Everything's a pretty good word when we're talking about who Christ is to us. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate you sharing a little bit. He'll be here through Tuesday. If you'd like to visit with him after church, you're more than welcome to. I encourage you to come and meet him after church. Kayla, would you come up here real quick? This is Kayla Wheeler. Kayla Wheeler is from Abilene, and Buffalo Gap, right outside of Abilene. That's another foreign country. Thank you, Stan. Kayla Wheeler has, we met her in Colombia on mission. And we served together there and became friends. Jamie and I and Kayla became friends years ago. And she served faithfully with us 7 times already in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And she'll be going back with us in July, be her 8th time to serve. Mm-hmm. And just what a wonderful blessing you've been to us.
Thank
as
you.
As just friends.
Ditto.
But also a blessing to us in ministry, partnering together to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen Kayla up on the on the screens here on Wednesday night when we're down in Costa Rica. We always do a video conference with our team members, and so many of you probably would recognize her through the years. I'm going to ask you, church, let's pray for Josue. He's going to be leaving Tuesday, and that the Lord would just shine his light through him, continue to use him in a powerful way. And Kayla, could I ask you to pray for Josue? Kayla's going to lead us, but let's all pray together. How's that?
I even met Josue's mama, and she loves her son, me being a mama. Oh, Father God, how I just love you, and I'm so thankful, God, for this church family, for this church body. God, you give us one church, one body. There is one Lord, one Savior, and I thank you for that, God. I thank you for this young man right here, Lord, and how I love him so much, God. I just ask your blessing on him, Lord. As he serves, as he lives, as he ministers right there in San Jose, God, just bless him, Lord. Go before him and prepare the way, Lord. Open hearts of people that you have specifically picked out for him to share with, God. Come behind him, Lord, and just wrap him up in your love. God, I just pray for him that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard his heart and his mind in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as me as a mama too, God, I pray for the woman you have picked for him, for a future wife, God, that you give him discerning eyes, that you give him a heart that is going to seek you, Lord, as he looks at any woman to date. Lord, that you just guard his thoughts, his mind, his every step, his every action, God. There are so many people, Lord, that we have met as we have stepped out in faith to serve you, God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the love that I have for this young man, God. Just bless him and just direct his steps. Lord, I thank you for this church body, Lord, for their heart for you, for their heart for missions, for their heart for the lost, God. Because we know you're coming back, Lord. We know you're coming, God. And help us, Lord, to be about your business, Lord, sharing Christ, Lord, telling people about you. Father, we just ask your blessing, your direction, and God, forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Continue to grow us, and Lord, I cannot pass this time without praying for my dear friend Melody, Lord, that you just heal her up, God, just heal her body, God, and bring her back to your church, God. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
One more time, church, would you show your love and welcome to Kayla and Josue. God bless you. Church, this is fun for me. This is exciting for me. Getting to be with you guys each and every week and how God expands our territory. Seems like there's a prayer in the Old Testament about that. And praise God for our territory and our circle that keeps growing and growing. And that's us. That's our churches involved in missions. Whether you can go or not go, you can still be involved in partnership and prayer and support that way. Let's all stand together now. Continue to worship the Lord and just thank him for his amazing grace. You've done for me. So grateful to the Lord to raise up wonderful, wonderful volunteers through our church, working, serving the Lord diligent through our youth ministry, also our children's ministry. Let me just ask real quick, if you serve in our children's ministry, we have some over there next door right now serving. If you serve in our children's ministry in any capacity, would you stand, please? Stand to your feet. Like I said, several next door, all across over here, some up here. On the platform as well.
Others that didn't stand, that you serve in little worship, you serve in nursery, you know, all of those things. Everybody that serves with the children, including Jennifer Ville and Glenda Ville and Cassidy, and y'all stand, please. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We've got so many that are faithful in their service, and we're just so glad to be a part of a church where training up children in the way they should go is a priority. And we have Faith Builders After School on Tuesdays. We have Wednesday Night Kids Club coming up in March. For those that are available on that Good Friday when the kids are out of school, and you may be off from work, we're going to be having a Good Friday Bible school so the kids can come learn the real meaning of Easter and of the resurrection. And while our youth are going to be off at Falls Creek learning about the same things. And so we just have a lot going on. And one of the things we do at Faith Builders and Kids Club is we believe in scripture memory. And Sunday school as well, we believe that if they hide God's word in their heart, that it'll be something that helped them not sin against him in the future. But more than that, it'll be something that flourishes and grows to grow them towards Jesus every day. We hope they find Jesus from an early age and walk with him all the days of their life. And I heard this quote just a few weeks ago, and I shared it with you. The sign of a living church is crying babies and singing men. You know, that's, and that, you know, it's when everybody is getting in love with Jesus and wanting to be together, to learn and grow together. Well, we've got some of our Faith Builders and Kids Club kids that are going to come and share some of the verses that they've learned over the past few months during the fall. And so those kids that are going to share a verse, Maya, Abigail, Oliver, y'all come on up, Rico, Benjamin, where's Benjamin? There he is. Benjamin, come on up. Good job. And so they're gonna right here, Benjamin, between Oliver and Maya. There you go. That's right. And so this is my Abigail. You going for here? Y'all switch places because I've got Maya going first because she's in Genesis. Okay. So Maya quotes. We've got Maya and Abigail and Benjamin and Oliver and Rico are gonna be sharing with you.
Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created man in the image of God. He created them male and female. Genesis 1:27.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Come right over here. And then Abigail's actually going to do two for us.
Job 37:14. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Job 37:14. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44.
Luke 6:31. Trust as you want others to do for you. Do the same for them.
Good job, Benjamin. Come right over here.
That's the golden rule, by the way.
1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
Good job, Oliver. Okay, and then Charles.
All right, Rico's the last one. And I think most everyone out here probably knows the one that you're going to do. All right, this is Rico.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, but whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask our other boys and girls who's been singing with us to come on up, and we're going to stand together and sing God So Loved. The other boys and girls who's been practicing with us, come on up. Church, let's stand together and sing. you may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you, boys and girls. Beautiful, beautiful.
Amen. You know what I saw when we were singing during that? I saw the future of the church. The present of the church, too. I don't ever want to seem like children aren't crucial to the church right now, but what I saw was future song leaders and future worship band members and future people who are helping to lead others to Christ, and it's just a cool thing. You know, there are three major holidays happening this week, right? In the first 4 days of the week, there are three major holidays, right? What's the holiday today? Super Bowl Sunday. It has become one of the biggest holidays in America. Now, you recognize I didn't say holy days, I said holidays. Okay? Wednesday. Two main holidays on Wednesday. What are they? Valentine's Day. What's the other one? Ash Wednesday. What? Oh, your birthday. Okay, that's true. And there's somebody's wedding anniversary on that same February 14th too. But it's Valentine's Day we all know about. But one thing that we as Baptists don't talk a lot about is Ash Wednesday, and not so much about Ash Wednesday, but what comes after Ash Wednesday in the high church and traditional and historic churches is Lent. For that period, starting Wednesday. You've heard of that, right? And you may have some Catholic or Episcopalian or Presbyterian friends that may show up at work and have a little dot on their head of ash where they went to a service to mark the beginning of that. And on the Ash Wednesday, they begin 40 days. They set aside 40 days to give up something, to fast from something, to spend that time seeking the Lord before Easter comes. To prepare themselves for Holy Week. That's the goal anyway, and that's the objective. Now, there's also on Tuesday evening what I would call a perversion of part of that historical Christian holiday. It's called Fat Tuesday, and most of you know it as Mardi Gras. You know, and there'll be big celebrations in New Orleans and big celebration at bars and stuff where people, you know, getting drunk and doing all sorts of stuff like some kind of crazy carnival. Do you realize that was supposedly tied to the early church celebration of preparing our hearts for Christ? And what it had become was just a celebration of celebrating ourselves, what we desire. I'm bringing those up because in the Bible, there's several words used for love and affection and all those, but there's three main ones. One is phileo, which is the city of brotherly love, and we are going to be talking today about Jesus's new commandment. And phileo is that family type of love, and it's celebrated with community. And I would say for a lot of people, the Super Bowl has become one of those family kind of gatherings where you gather the family together and watch the game, but really it's more about getting your friends and family together. I know several groups in here are having family and friends over. And that's the occasion, but they're really not that interested in the Super Bowl. They're more interested in sharing a bowl. And that's that kind of family-type gathering. I don't really care who wins the game. I don't know that much about either one of these teams, except for one of them helped me lose my fantasy football league. But other than that, you know, it's... With my son and daughter-in-law, the only question we had, what were we going to eat during it? Yeah. So it's time to celebrate family. And God created the family. There's nothing wrong with celebrating family and friends. God desires us to do that. There's another word, eros. That's a Greek word for love, and it's really more, instead of family, it's about feelings, and it's celebrated by cravings, and satisfaction is what the goal is. And so the idea is eros can be a good thing if it's between a husband and wife and they have that affection for one another, that desire for one another. But it's also the most misused word. And Valentine's Day is typically a day about eros. I mean, why else do people jack up the price of roses and sell so much chocolate? If you really loved your loved one, are you going to feed them that many calories and sugar? You know, I mean, really, if that's the love. But yet, it's something because we desire that. It's that, so we say, because I desire you and want you to know that you're an object of my desire, I'm giving you chocolates or roses and all those kind of things. But you know what? Those come across hollow if you haven't spent the other 364, or this year, 365, right? Days of the year demonstrating that you love them with phileo, or even better yet, with agape love. See, the third main category of love is agape love. It's God's kind of love, and it's used 143 times in the New Testament. And it's a love about faithfulness, and it's centered on Christ and on sacrifice. And so when we're talking about the new commandment, as we've been doing this series on all things new, this is one that even the elementary school kids would say, yeah, we know this one. Everybody here would say, yeah, I know this one. In fact, three of our verses directly related to love. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about Luke 6:31. About treating others the way you want to be treated, doing to others as you would want them to do to you, the golden rule. We've been talking about Matthew 5:44, where Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then we've been talking about 1 John 4:17-19. What was it, Oliver? 1 John 4:19, right? We love because he first loved us. And so all of these about love talk about God's kind of love. We as a church would say, oh yeah, we know this one, you know. So pastor is obligated at least once a year to talk about love, you know, or 52 weeks out of the year to talk about love. And we know about this one. I don't think we do. I'm not talking about this church body. I'm not talking about you individually either. Talking about the Christian church as a whole, I think there's something we've missed about the great commandment. You know, when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments out of the Old Testament? He said, well, the first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. And upon this, the whole Old Testament revolves. It hangs all the law and the prophets, he says. Well, Jesus tells us there's a new commandment for us as believers in the new covenant. And so let's stand together as we read. We're going to start with just John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, where Jesus first, during the Lord's Supper, brings up this new commandment idea to his disciples. Therefore, when he had gone out, and he's talking about Judas, when he had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. A lot of glory about Jesus and about what he was about to do, which was go to the cross and rise from the grave. Then he says, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Heavenly Father, teach us to love like Jesus loves. For it's in his name we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Keep your Bibles open, and we're going to, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while, that whole idea of a new commandment. Because, I mean, the Old Testament talks about love a lot. I mean, it didn't just come up in the New Testament. God is a God of love. And all throughout the Old Testament, he talks about love. And so why does Jesus say he's given them a new commandment? Because it's not the love part. That's always been part of God's plan for his people, is that they would learn to love like he learns to love. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a whole lot of, I'm holy, so be holy. There's a whole lot of, hey, don't do this and do this, because these are things that separate you out to be holy people. And so that love part was there all along. And it's not the witness part either, that last part. You know, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Because Israel was set out to be a kingdom of priests that was to show the world who God was. See, it was never God's intention for everyone to join Israel. It was never God's intention for everyone, the physical Israel, for everyone to move to Jerusalem and live there. It was never God's intention. It was God's intention for him to separate a people out of holiness to reflect his love, to reflect his holiness, and for them to spread out across the world to turn the whole place into a new Jerusalem. And someday he's going to do it on his own. He's going to do it when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. But it was never the intent that everybody should go to Jerusalem. The intent was always, God will be present here. He will teach you how to show his love, and then he'll send you out across to the uttermost parts of the earth, was the original intent. And that's what the Great Commission tells us, right? That you would be a light to the nations is what God told Abraham. That you're going to shine like the stars. You're going to be more numerous than the stars, so you can spread my name across the whole world, not so you can keep it located in Jerusalem. So that's not new either. So what is the new part of that commandment? Now, I started thinking about the Old Covenant commandments, because how many of y'all read through the Bible in a year, or at least attempt to read through the Bible in a year? I'm not trying to shame the rest of you. I'm going to say attaboy to those that are doing it. I'm going to say, if you're not seeking to read through the Bible every year, you ought to start. It'll make a difference in your life. It was funny. I got to go to the FCA meeting Friday at the high school. And turns out we had gotten our signals crossed about when I was supposed to come speak. And so they already had people to speak, and it was FCA leaders. And Beto, it was really good, wasn't it? There was some of the leaders got up, and they just shared what they do to grow closer to Christ. And they talked about reading their Bible every day, having a plan to read their Bible every day, about praying and some of those kind of things. It was really a blessing. And one of the things somebody brought up, look, if you read the Bible through and you read on purpose in God's Word, not just every now and then think about it, then God will bless you immensely, because he speaks through his word. He'll speak to your day. I mean, things you don't even know are about to come on. Sometimes it's things you know are burdening you, and you'll read something in God's word, and God says, listen, I'm speaking this to you today. You need to hear this. Or sometimes it's something you don't even know that's coming up, and God says, I'm teaching you this. Wait till you see what happens later. Now, I can't say I ever heard Jesus say that to me. Wait till you see what happens later. But I've seen it happen over and over again in my life. And you get to speak a word that God spoke to you, and it blesses somebody's heart, because God's word's alive. One of the little girls, I mean, it's a high schooler. She was saying, you know, one thing that I've been taught is, you know, we all have our cell phones, and we all get screen time throughout the day. She said, a lot of times at the end of a class period, you know how your teacher will say, hey, I'm through with the lesson for the day, and you got 5 minutes. You can spend that however you want to. You know, you can study for another class or something else. Pull out your phone, turn on your Bible app, and spend screen time with Jesus during that 5 minutes. While you're walking down the hall, you can pull out your phone and use that for screen time. And man, that was a blessing to me to hear a high school student saying, I can redeem my time. So can we, can't we? There's a lot. We all say, I don't have enough time. No, we're just choosing to invest it someplace else. Make a decision to invest it wisely. But when I was reading through Leviticus, got to Leviticus 19, and a lot of you know, this is one of the verses we teach our children and faith builders. Leviticus 19, 18 is where Jesus got the, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's in the scriptures in the Old Testament. That's where he says, this is the key verse in Leviticus 19, 18. But when I was reading through it, you know, it's talking about love, but it's talking about it in a different way than the New Testament does. I mean, look at this. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. You know what I hear every time I hear that? I hear my mom saying, because I said so. I'm your mother, and I said so. That's what I kind of hear, you know. And I don't know if that's what God's trying to say there, is that, listen, you're to do this because I'm the Lord your God. This, and it's either I'm commanding you to do these things because this is my nature, or I'm the Lord your God. This is what your nature's supposed to be. You can decide which one it's supposed to be. I think it's, what was Josue's word? Everything. I think it's both. God saying, look, this is my nature to take care of the needy. You're my people. You take care of the needy because it's my nature, but it's also the nature I want you to have. And then it goes on, you shall not steal nor deal falsely nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as not to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And he keeps bringing it back. And so using his name, not stealing, not dealing falsely, acting the way you're supposed to. Verse 13, don't oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. Make sure you pay the wages of your hired hands. Don't curse a deaf man or put a stumbling block in the way of a blind man. Don't take advantage of those who are the most vulnerable. And he said, but you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. That whole idea of revering your God in that situation, I think it is, you know, you could get away with stuff from the blind and the lame and those. You might could get away with it, but you better revere your God because I'm watching. It goes on, don't have any injustice and judgment. Don't be partial to the poor, defer to the great. Judge your neighbor fairly. And that's in the court system. Boy, we need to pray for our court system, that people, judges, lawyers, juries would be able to see what's true and what's right, because we know it doesn't always come across that way. But there is a higher judge that will always bring justice. Didn't we read that today in 2 Thessalonians? That he reserves judgment. And so don't do any injustice. And again, he says, I am the Lord. And then he says, and don't hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but don't incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Okay, so love is taught in the Old Testament, but mainly it's taught how you're going to treat one another so as not to defraud people, to hurt people, to change things. And so it's love because I say so, I am the Lord. Love because you represent me, I am the Lord. And love because you want to be loved. Love your neighbor as yourself. So often our love is transactional. We love people if they can give us something back that we're desiring. You know why? You know, there's all these things about why marriages fail. And that 50% rule, it's probably more than that, that 50% of couples end up in divorce. It's because most of them go into marriage as a transaction. And mostly it's built on an eros transaction. if as long as you're making me feel good about myself, as long as you're making me feel loved and appreciated, I will love you back. But as soon as you stop meeting my needs, and generally when you hear somebody say, well, they're not meeting my needs, means they're not meeting my wants. It's an Eros thing. It's a, I don't like the way it's going. I don't enjoy it. I'm out of here. Christians, that is not agape love. Agape love is, I am committed to love this person forever, even if they never love me back or give me anything back. So that's what we've missed, because if you think about the new commandment, Jesus, this is the only new part of the commandment. Jesus says that you love one another even as I have loved you. You know, that love your neighbor as yourself, that's old. And it's still true, and it's still something we should do. You know, the whole idea of love, because it shows, it best demonstrates how God loves us. But it's the love one another as I have loved you is what we're not coming up with. We throw that part off because Jesus' love is sacrificial. Listen to what he says in the New Testament. When it's talking about love, John 13, 34 through 35 is our passage today. Love one another as I have loved you. John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So what kind of love did Jesus love us with? A sacrificial love. A love that laid down his life. Matthew 5, 44, he was talking about, you've heard it said, the Old Testament tells you, love your friends. This is what the Old Testament covenant teaching got taught. This is how it got taught. Love your friends and hate your enemies. Because you got to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, you can do whatever you want to if somebody crosses you. That's the old covenant style. That's how they taught it anyway. But Jesus said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We always try and put a little bit of sign language with the verse so the kids can remember it better. Actually, so I can remember it better. But I tell you, love, this sign language for enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. That's sign language for persecute. And so, you know, that whole idea of Jesus said, listen, love people that don't treat you well. Love people that maybe on the other side of the political spectrum. Love people who may be bombing innocent people or kidnapping innocent people. Love people who are treating others poorly. As he does. Now, again, you know, it's not saying that you let them get away with just whatever they want to get away with. But he's saying Jesus loves every one of them. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Do to others as you would have them do to you, Luke 6:31. Galatians 6, Doug and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, how in the Christian body, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Help each other with those things that are burdening them down so much that they can't carry it on their own. But then you notice in verse 5, each one will bear his own load. Some translations, each one will carry his own load or burden. And so the idea is when someone has something too heavy for them to bear, we come alongside to help them bear up under it. But we're always going to seek to carry our own load. What God has placed on us, we will do. That would save the church from having to try and figure out who's trying to freeload and who's not. I mean, we're getting in Thessalonians, you know, and Paul says, man, if somebody won't work, then he doesn't get to eat either. See, in the church, we're supposed to fulfill the law of Christ by caring for one another and helping bear each other's burdens. But we're not supposed to be caring for those who will not bear their own burdens, who will not carry their own load. Rise up. Let God give you strength to carry your load. And he's always going to give you enough strength so you can help somebody else carry theirs. 1 John, we're going to study 1 John later on this year or early next year in Sunday school. 1 John, he's again saying, I'm really not writing a new commandment to you, an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard. On the one hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he's in the light yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. And then he doubles down in chapter 2 by saying, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. I'm going to just say something to the believers now. And I don't know if there's anybody in this congregation that needs to hear this word or somebody watching on our online feed. You are not allowed to hold a grudge against someone. You are not. Amen. If someone hurts you deeply, you still have to, from your heart, forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that they get to enjoy that benefit of forgiveness, but you cannot harbor hatred towards anyone in your heart, because you don't belong to Jesus if you do. That's what the Word of God says. And I've heard so many believers who have said, well, I haven't spoken to my brother in 20 years because of something he said to me. Something he did to me. I haven't spoken to this person, or I just wrote them off and everything else. Now, there is one thing about if they've closed the door to you, to say, I will continue to pray for them and pray that God brings them to a righteous place. But we are not allowed to close and burn bridges. He says anyone who has a hatred for someone in their heart does not belong to Jesus, because Jesus died for us while we were his enemies. He died for all of those people who spit on him. He died for all of those people who cursed him on the cross. And he told his followers, you shall love one another as I have loved you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How did he love us? It's a love that's manifested. It's got to be seen. People have to see the love of God in you. If you go through your work day and just get your work done and faithful to get your work done, but nobody sees that there's this love beaming out of you, you're not showing the kind of love that Jesus showed. It was manifested. That word for manifested means it's shown, but it's shown brilliantly. Our love needs to be manifested. Our love is needed. Did you see that part? He said, God sent his Son to be our propitiation because of what we needed. We needed life. We needed to come back from the dead. We need to be released from our chains. That bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there, his arms open wide. That's what we're teaching your children. That's what God's teaching his children. We serve because the need is there, not because we like the person, not because we like the situation, not because we phileo them or eros them. We serve because they need to be loved. It's needed. And then it goes on. It's initiated by the one who loves. God sent his son. It wasn't us down here crying out, hey, God, when can you send your son for us? I mean, they were praying for Messiah to come because God had promised it. But God sent forth his son. We've got to quit waiting to love people and start initiating the love for people. And then the whole idea is we imitate the Savior who loved us. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, patient, kind, not jealous, does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Everything. Love. See, one thing I wanted to mention, and we're going to come back to John 13 just before Easter in March to talk about the love of Jesus and his sacrifice. But in the first part of John 13, before he tells them to love one another as I have loved you, it says, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing his hour had come that he'd depart from the world, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Some of your translations, I love this translation, says he showed them the full extent of his love. And during the supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper, laid aside his garment, taking a towel, he girded himself. And you remember what happened? He starts washing the feet of the disciples. And I want to say, he was showing his love, manifested. He was doing something that was needed. They reclined around the table. Can you imagine? I have a superpower. And I don't tell everybody. My wife tells them all the time that my husband has a superpower. My feet never stink. I mean, I don't know why, but I could have played basketball for 3 hours, come off, take off my shoes and socks, don't smell a thing. Because she has a super sniffer. God put us together because that would be bad if my feet stunk and she smelled strongly. But my feet don't stink, just generally. But most people's do. And especially in that day and time when you're wearing sandals and walking on dusty, dirty roads and didn't take baths every day and didn't have access to do that. And so they're sitting, reclining at the table with the feet right there next to the table. I know some of you hate feet too, and to get it by your, like somebody, I put my shoes on the table one time. I thought my mom was going to come unglued, you know. It was needed. And the reason I bring that up is sometimes we think, well, should we be washing people's feet, have foot washing services? And we've done that a couple of times just as a kind of a demonstration example of what it looked like. It's not about washing feet. It's about seeing a need and meeting it. See, love is not always what you tell them with your mouth. That's important. But love is finding the need of that person and meeting them at their need. They needed their feet washed, so Jesus washed their feet. It was something only a lowly servant would do, but he initiated it. He did it. And then, you know, at verse 12 and 13, he says, you know, do you know what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right about that. But if I've washed your feet, you ought also to wash each other's feet. I gave you an example. You should do as I did to you. Between verse 4 and 12, guess what happened right after he finished washing people's feet? And by the way, Peter said, no, I don't want to. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is receive somebody else's gift of love. He said, no, you can't wash my feet. You're my Lord and Savior. He said, if I don't wash you, you have no part of it, of me, because this is part of that community, and you need to know who I am and what I want you to do later to feed my sheep and take care of my lambs. Immediately after he finished washing feet, he turned to Judas and said, now you can go do what you came to do. See, I forgot that part. Jesus washed the feet of the man that was about to betray him. You know, it would have been very easy for him to, before he washed the feet, to say, hey, Judas, why don't you go do what you're intending to do? And then wash the feet of his disciples. But Jesus, verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, had the ability to just separate Judas out, but yet he washed his feet anyway. So here's the point. What is God calling you to do? To love like he loves, to love like Jesus loves, that we love one another even as we've been loved by Jesus. What is it that God is calling you today at your workplace, at your schools, at your home, to demonstrate the type of love Jesus has for all people and to mean it? You know, sometimes we can follow an example and try and do like Jesus did. But what Jesus says is, listen, I've given you a new heart. Now live by the new commandment. Some of you need to be careful what you decide to post on social media. Some of you need to be careful about that person that rubs you the wrong way at work or at school. And it doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to like that person. But you know what it does mean? They're suddenly going to see Jesus loving them in the meantime. See, again, is this a new sermon? No. Was our call to love others new? No. Was our call to demonstrate God's love to the world so they know how much he loves them new? No. What's the new part? I don't get to love the way I want to love and the people I want to love. I have to let Jesus be totally in control of my loving and be the lover of mankind that he is. Show it. Sacrifice. Start it. Heavenly Father, help us in these moments to make commitments to you that because we've been loved, that we are people under a new commandment to love like you've loved us. Help us enjoy doing that. Help us live for that. Help us. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody that has something against somebody and they've never tried to reconcile it, that today they'll seek that step of reconciliation. And even if the other person won't reconcile, that they'll be reconciled with you and with them in their hearts so that they can just pray for them and release the burden of carrying hate. Lord, help us want life more than we want pride. Help us to want true peace with you more than we want to be proven right. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and Becky's going to lead us in this song that just, man, we are what God says we are, and we can do what God says we can do. He says you can love like he loves. Allow him to let you and empower you to do that.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe. Say of me, I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity.
To head out those doors and do what God has called you to do. Amen. We are His. We're blood bought, born again, set apart. We are children of the King. Amen. We are His. Go serve diligently. Go love as He loved you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.